Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Thursday, February 20th, is the feast of Saint Jacinta Marto, visionary of Fatima. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis shows signs of improvement as he continues treatment in Rome's Gemelli Hospital. Hamas releases the bodies of four hostages to Israel as part of an ongoing ceasefire arrangement. And humanitarian aid organizations warn of the dire situation facing children in Haiti. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, in a note to journalists, the Holy See press office said Pope Francis got out of bed on Thursday morning and had breakfast in an armchair after a restful night in Rome's Gemelli Hospital. After breakfast, the Holy Father read some newspapers and then went about his work with his closest collaborators. He received the Holy Eucharist later in the morning. Pope Francis has been in hospital since Friday when he was admitted after suffering from bronchitis for the last 2 weeks. In a medical update on Wednesday evening, the Holy See press office said the Pope's clinical condition is stable and the tests have shown a slight improvement in his condition. Turning now to world news, the coffins of four Israeli hostages have been driven in a convoy to Tel Aviv following Hamas's handover of the bodies to the Red Cross earlier on Thursday. Nathan Morley has the latest.
This action is part of the ongoing Gaza ceasefire deal. Three of the coffins contain the remains of a mother and her three young children who were reportedly killed in an Israeli attack several months ago. However, confirmation that the remains are indeed those of the two children and their mother may take some time to establish. The children, aged 9 months and 4 years old at the time of their abduction, were captured with their parents on October 7, 2023, from their family home in southern Israel. They both held German and Israeli citizenship. The woman's husband and the children's father are among 24 hostages who have been released alive during the ongoing ceasefire. Hamas claims that the fourth coffin contains the body of Oded Lifshitz, an 84-year-old male hostage and activist who dedicated his life to promoting peaceful coexistence between Israelis and Palestinians. In a separate development, the Jordan Hashemite charity organisation, JHCO, announced on Wednesday that it's begun sending prefabricated homes to the Gaza Strip in collaboration with the Jordanian Armed Forces. This initiative aims to provide safe shelter for families affected by the widespread destruction of homes and infrastructure across the Strip. General Hussein Mohammed al-Shalbi said the dispatch of mobile homes was part of their ongoing commitment to supporting their brothers and sisters in Gaza. He said they're striving to provide rapid and effective solutions to alleviate their suffering. Since the outbreak of the conflict in October 2023, the JHCO has delivered multiple batches of relief to the Gaza Strip. In a separate regional development, the Lebanese president, Joseph Aoun, has reaffirmed that Lebanon will spare no effort in utilising diplomatic channels and support from Arab and allied nations to liberate its land from Israeli occupation. He emphasised that the challenges facing the region, especially those confronting the Palestinian people, can only be addressed through a unified Arab stance. Speaking at a meeting with a delegation of Arab ambassadors led by the Palestinian ambassador, Aoun stressed that no Arab nation was immune to repercussions from the events unfolding in any part of the region. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Meanwhile, the president of the Commission of the Bishops' Conferences of the European Union, COMICE, Monsignor Mariano Crociata, has issued a statement concerning the situation in Syria. In his declaration, Monsignor Crociata expresses concern in particular for the nation's Christian communities, warning their erosion from the nation would be not only a tragic loss for Syria, but for the stability of the region and the world. Monsignor Crociata's message was written in response to a letter of the Syrian Catholic Archbishop of Homs, Archbishop Julian Jacques Murad. Deborah Castellano-Lubov has this report.
The erosion of Christian communities would be a tragic loss not only for Syria, but also for the stability of the region and of the world. The president of the Commission of Bishops' Conferences of the European Union, or COMECE, Bishop Mariano Crociata, in a statement, expressed his deep concern for the ongoing humanitarian crisis in Syria, observing that the people of Syria have faced unimaginable hardships. In particular, he wished to draw attention to the plight of Christian communities in the country. COMECE, he appealed, urges the EU and the international community to recognize the vulnerability of Syria's Christian communities. Moreover, COMECE called for taking concrete steps to ensure their protection that go beyond immediate humanitarian assistance and include long-term strategies. COMECE therefore called on the EU and member states to provide sustained and adequate funding to trusted partners to ensure their basic needs, such as food, shelter, health care, including trauma healing and education, are met for all Syrians. The bishops also called for creating a framework that allows the private sector to operate in the country with appropriate safeguards and guarantees. In this regard, Bishop Crociata added, COMECE welcomes the EU's decision to gradually ease its sanctions on Syrians, which will have a positive impact on the well-being of the Syrian people. As bishops of the EU, he said they encourage the EU and its member states to work to protect the rights of minority communities in Syria, to ensure they are included in the constitutional process and reconstruction efforts, and that they are recognized and treated as equal citizens. In addition, COMECE called on the EU and member states to support initiatives that promote dialogue, reaffirming that the Church will continue to welcome and support Syrian refugees and displaced people, especially those fleeing persecution. Finally, he said the EU and the member states must also work to create conditions that allow for the safe and voluntary return of refugees and their families to their homes. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Staying in the Middle East, Cardinal Michael Czerny, the prefect of the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, is carrying out a five-day visit to Lebanon to show Pope Francis's solidarity with the Lebanese people. On the first 2 days of his visit, Cardinal Czerny encouraged young Christians to support their country in its desire for peace. Devin Watkins has the story.
Jesuit Cardinal Michael Czerny flew to Beirut on Wednesday for a five-day visit to Lebanon as the Middle Eastern nation recovers from Israel's recent destruction of Hezbollah's militant infrastructure. The prefect of the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development has a busy schedule meant to show Pope Francis's care for the country as he recovers from pneumonia in hospital in Rome. Among the cardinal's first encounters was a meeting with Cardinal Bechara Boutros Rai, Patriarch of the Maronite Catholic Church. He then met with young Lebanese Catholics who are students at the Leadership Academy for Peace, encouraging them to embody hope for others and to be a light in the darkness. Speaking to the young people, Cardinal Czerny noted that governance is frequently at the root of problems, but added that fraternity is the key to unlocking every social issue. If we are brothers and sisters, we will be good leaders, said the cardinal, noting that Christians must evangelize always and, when necessary, with words. Around 2% of the 120 students at the Academy for Peace are Muslim, who say that they attend the school for the high quality and values of Catholic education. One student, Julie, told Cardinal Czerny that there is no conflict between Christianity and politics, since both are about service to the community. Another, Jihan, said the academy, which is supported by Cardinal Czerny's dicastery, has taught her that politics is not inherently dirty, but requires diligence and attention to restore its true nature of service. Cardinal Czerny has been accompanied in Lebanon by Archbishop Youssef Souaif. The Maronite Archbishop of Tripoli told the cardinal about the church's welcome of millions of displaced people due to the recent conflict in the south. The Lebanese church's task, he said, is to build a future even where none seems to exist, working within the political system and rebuilding the trust of the international community. I'm Devin Watkins.
Turning to the Americas, violence and atrocities plague the people of Haiti as the influence of armed groups continue to rise. Amnesty International reported that between 30-50% of members of armed gangs are children. Many are forced to become informants, soldiers, cooks, and even used as so-called wives for gang members. UNICEF representative in Haiti, Gita Narayan, released a statement on X, bringing the ongoing situation for children in the country to the forefront and challenging the international community to not remain silent. Kelsey Gussie tells us more.
Rising levels of gang violence have marked the small Caribbean nation of Haiti for the last several years. The United Nations International Organization for Migration stated the number of internally displaced people has tripled to more than 1 million. Gangs have taken control over the capital city of Port-au-Prince, which has led to the collapse of healthcare services and a food insecurity crisis. Beyond that, children are now being targeted, and the UNICEF representative in Haiti, Gita Narayan, reported they continue to suffer unimaginable horrors and face attacks from armed gangs. On February 11th, stray bullets killed a student sitting in class. Narayan also described reports that a two-month-old baby was burned alive in front of their mother, which she called a terrible atrocity that should deeply shake the world. The UNICEF representative stressed these actions are more than simple acts of violence, but rather an attack on humanity itself. In response, UNICEF has called on national authorities and the international community to act and to protect the children of Haiti, defend their rights, and ensure their safety. Narayan said every child deserves to live without fear. Some 1.2 million children are reported to live under constant threat of armed violence, and the number of children recruited to armed gangs has dramatically risen. Last November, a report released by UNICEF showed that child recruitment in the country skyrocketed by 70%. Amnesty International reported that between 30 and 50% of gang members are now children. Many are forced to become informants, soldiers, cooks, and even used as wives for gang members. If they refuse, their lives and the lives of their families are threatened. The UNICEF representative, Narayan, warned that the world cannot remain silent as these millions of innocent children suffer this violence and inhumane treatment in Haiti. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Finally, Brazilian authorities have formally charged former President Jair Bolsonaro with attempting a coup to overthrow the government after his re-election defeat of 2022. James Blears has the details.
In a 272-pages report, Brazil's Attorney General Paulo Gonet confirms he's lodged charges with the country's Supreme Court against former President Jair Bolsonaro and 33 other people, including former government ministers. It accuses him and them of planning the, quote, violent overthrow of the democratic state. Those prominent officials accused are ex-Defense Minister Walter Braga Neto, ex-National Security Advisor Augusto Elano, and ex-Justice Minister Anderson Torres. Bolsonaro was president between 2019 and 2022. These latest developments are a result of a 2 years comprehensive investigation by Brazilian federal police. It stems from widespread rioting in the capital, Brasilia, during the week after the January 1, 2023 presidential inauguration of Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Rioters stormed the presidential palace, Congress, and the Supreme Court. Bolsonaro and they deny all the charges. He says it's a political witch hunt. Brazil's Supreme Court must now decide if there's sufficient evidence and justifiable grounds to put them on trial. For Vatican Radio, James Blears reporting.
And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. More on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our Vatican News web portal at www.vaticannews.va, as well as our Facebook, X, and Instagram pages. Many thanks go to our technicians in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.